Hello and welcome to End Goals, an LCMS Youth Ministry podcast. I'm host Reverend Mark Kiesling, and I'm with DCE Juliana Schultz. We are here to bring parents, church workers, and lay leaders discussions and resources to help your youth ministry meet its end goal, which is young people who are disciples of Jesus Christ for life. Today, we're going to talk about the city of New Orleans, the site of our 2025 LCMS Youth Gathering.
As we get closer to the 2025 LCMS Youth Gathering, we are going to have some End Goals episodes that are going to give us some behind the scenes and some maybe bonus content, if you will, for adults who are preparing groups. While this might be helpful for you, we want to make sure that you do join us for our once a month gathering update on Zoom, join our Facebook group, and check out the gathering website at lcmsgathering.com. For your most current information. And we will have all of those linked in the show notes.
Great.
But today we're going to talk a little bit about our gathering city. Mark, can you remind us some of the things that go into choosing the host city for the gathering?
Yeah, probably I'd start with maybe three things that we're looking at when we send out our request for cities to bid on an event like the LCMS Youth Gathering. One of those is a convention center with exhibit halls and also specifically meeting rooms. So like you might have some nice halls for large events like boat shows and things like that, but we do a lot of sessions. We do our Bible study sessions that we bring young people together around God's word. So we want a convention center that has those meeting rooms where that's possible. Like the specifics, we're usually looking at 400,000 square feet of exhibit hall space. It's a lot.
It's
a big room, big youth room, you know, for activities and things. And then maybe like 40 meeting rooms and a few maybe large ballrooms as well in that combination. We're also looking for a covered stadium that holds at least 25,000 people. Still at this point, we're looking at cities that have either a covered dome or maybe a Major League Baseball stadium like we had in 2022 in Houston. And then hotels that are either within walking distance, as is the case in New Orleans, which is awesome. But then also maybe a city that has light rail, like the Twin Cities or Houston, or at least enough buses to support moving people twice a day in an efficient manner. And then in that, included in that, then certainly a part of our process when we're picking the city is that a city has to be able to do that in a financial way that makes sense for our participants who are attending. So that it's usually a cooperation of the city and then whoever owns the facilities, whether that's the city or other organizations, and then the hotel group that's there in the city that make that financial package that make it viable for us just from a financial standpoint so our registration rate can remain reasonable for our participants.
I did not realize just how many components go into doing a host city and picking one of those. And I think people ask us all the time, like, why can't you come to XYZ city? And the reality is there aren't a lot of cities even around the country that can meet a lot of those marks.
Right. And especially, you know, you think of our cities, like that's where going to the Twin Cities was unique in 2019 when we went there, is that oftentimes cities to the north, those are their high times. So like hotel rates can be really high or they're busy because that's when conventions go there. So that's why oftentimes we're in the South in July.
For those lower hotel rates.
Yes, exactly. Hotel rates in a city that says, yes, we can make that work financially that maybe we wouldn't be able to afford otherwise. And so that's oftentimes why we are further south for our event.
Yeah. So one of those swampy, sweaty, but beautiful cities that we go to often is New Orleans. And we have been there a number of times. So starting with in 1992, it's the first time we were in New Orleans.
Correct. And that was under the theme, A Time for Joy. And then we looked at Ecclesiastes chapter 3, 1 to 8. That was my gathering as a youth.
Was it?
Yes, it was. So great memories of the city of New Orleans as what? What was that going into my sophomore year? In high school.
And then back in 2001 for Higher Ground, where we looked at Colossians 3, 1.
Correct.
So that was great. And then we were set to come back in 2007.
Correct. So we were actually in the city for a planning meeting in August of 2005 when Katrina hit. And so we were in the plans and then we were blessed. The city of Orlando was able to move things around and we were able to move to Orlando in July of 2007. But we were supposed to be in New Orleans that year and kind of had to shift 2 years out. But then we're blessed to be able to be back in 2010. And that's when we had the theme of We Believe. There we looked at the book of John, specifically John 20:31 was our theme.
And then we were back. This is my first gathering as a staff member.
Yes.
I certainly had gone before, but my first 2016 in Christ Alone, where we looked at the book of Philippians. So we've been a number of times. Why is New Orleans a city that we go back to often for the gathering?
Right. Well, just in general, New Orleans positions themselves. I mean, our participants will see there for the gathering. That is like just a city that's for meetings all across the board, whether it's religious meetings, whether it's business meetings, whether it's things like Super Bowls. They've got world-class facilities. They continue to invest in that. I mean, it's obviously a large part of their economy in the city of New Orleans and the state of Louisiana in terms of the taxes and everything that come in from events that they do. So it really drives, you know, along with petroleum, it kind of drives a lot of the economy. And of course, fishing and all those great food things
too, that come
in New Orleans. Yeah. But it's something that they definitely invest in. So, you know, just those things I mentioned above, great convention center, a great Superdome, great other facilities, great hotels. And then we're blessed too. We had this in 2019 in Minneapolis in the Twin Cities. They're hosting the Super Bowl in 2025 too. So like everything's kind of getting updated and upgraded and spit shine and all this kind of stuff. So we're going to be coming just months after the Super Bowl when, I mean, I lose track of now how many hotels we hear are doing major work to get ready for February of 2025 when they host the Super Bowl. And then also too, the convention centers had a lot of work done both for the Super Bowl and then they celebrated a big anniversary, I think 400 years of the city, I think a number of years ago. And then the Superdome is going to basically looks brand new inside. It's amazing. Like I don't even recognize what facility I'm in when we've walked in there recently when we've been in the city because of all the work that they've done. That's great.
Yeah. And I love that for us, there is some consistency in the hospitality staff that we get to interact with, right? So people who recognize our event because they were there in 2001, because they've seen us in 2016 and know our event and can personalize what they're doing in terms of their hospitality and care back to our young people. So let's talk a little bit about the locations we're going to use at the gathering. So often we'll talk about we kind of expect that people know we're kind of talking about three major locations, right? You're going to talk about your hotels. We're going to talk about where we're going to spend our kind of our day programming and then where we do our mass events together at night.
Absolutely. So right now we're sitting at about 40 contracted hotels in the city of New Orleans. I'm guessing we'll probably end up about 50 when it's all said and done. Yeah. Now we're kind of hitting maybe some of the smaller properties that are downtown, but great properties that are downtown to be able to facilitate not just paid participants, but then also our volunteer teams too that are coming in. So make sure we've got enough houses for them. We're really excited that if you were at 2016, we had people out at hotel properties and people that had a shuttle. And we're excited. I don't think that's going to be an issue this time. Both the city, I don't know how they do it. I mean, it's just, again, the engine that they are for meetings and for hospitality and for visitors is that they've built more hotels since we were there in 2016 or expanded. And so there's just more hotel rooms downtown for us, which is great. So everyone will not, no one will have to shuttle. It'll all be walkable there. And then we talk about if you're looking at a map, we kind of generally talk about maybe four general areas. So there's an area called the Central Business District, which is kind of between like Poydras and Canal Streets. This area that's a lot of businesses, high rises and things like that. We have a number of hotels in there. Then there's what you might see if you're like looking up properties would be called the Warehouse District or the Convention Center District. So that's obviously right close to the Convention Center. And it's basically old warehouses from the port that's there in New Orleans. I mean, many of them have been renovated into great hotels that are right there close. And those are close to the Convention Center, further from the Dome, but closer to the Convention Center. And then we have a number of properties along Canal Street. Those are some of the large ones like the Sheraton and the Marriott and some others. And then some will be also called the French Quarter. We have very few in the French Quarter, but some will probably go into that maybe one or two or three properties will kind of be in that area. And so that's, and even some hotels that aren't really in the French Quarter, they're going to have that in their name, but they're actually, it's more like they're within walking distance of the French Quarter, but they're actually in the Central Business District. So those are kind of the areas if you're getting used to the city. If you're coming to National this summer, you'll have some chance to kind of check that out and see how the city lays out. But that's a little bit about our hotel community. Right now, too, we're planning on, really, the hotels will not have programming at them. So like all your Bible studies and everything will be at the convention center. But your hotels, we're going to provide space for like, come back, do your community group time, prayer, devotions, that type of thing, that we're going to open up as many spaces as we can for that to happen. Or obviously your guest rooms, too, for that to be a place for you to connect with your young people in the groups that come.
And I think part of that is recognizing that because we are mostly, the vast majority of people are going to be off of and out of the French Quarter. I think you picture, if you're looking at like maybe what you're picturing when you think about New Orleans, we actually are very busy. It's very business oriented.
Yes.
It's designed, the hotels are up and around these businesses to be able to host these kinds
of
meetings.
It's much more connected to the convention center in that way. We're in more the convention business hotels rather than the touristy hotels, which are more in the French Quarter area.
And not that you can't get to good restaurants
or
to the traditional New Orleans things, but just to kind of give people a picture, you know, when we've been down for meetings and preparation meetings, it's like, okay, I have to walk a little bit to get to the areas of New Orleans that are a little more traditional New Orleans, which you're picturing when you're looking at the brochure kind of a thing.
Right, absolutely, absolutely. And that's one of those things, I mean, I'd say is like once you get your hotel assignment, you know, a little under a year from now, or about a year from now, it's like just kind of get familiar with that map side. We'll have more resources along the way too, you to help you do that. But just like to understand those distances. If you've got kids that want to see the river, you know, that could be a walk from where you're at potentially, or you might be right next door, but yet just be prepared that then maybe your walk to the dome in the evening might be a little longer.
Yeah. So then during the day, we're going to be in the convention center. This convention center is humongous,
yes.
Which is great because it means we have so much area for us to be able to have interactive center stuff on the floor and all of our meeting rooms and all of our Bible studies there. But it is also like a mile long.
Literally a mile long. And so it basically follows the river. So it's a long kind of narrow building compared to maybe Houston and Minneapolis that we were more recently in, which were more kind of like leveled and kind of boxed in a little bit more. This has known for being, we always kind of joke that like you can come in one door and you're still 15, 20 minutes away from your destination, whether that's a ballroom or a meeting room or whatever like that, because it is that long of a walk. But yeah, just like names to be familiar with. Usually it's probably like technically called the New Orleans Ernest and Morial Convention Center, or you might see these letters, MCCNO. So that's Morial Convention Center, New Orleans. Those are letters you might want to be familiar with that you're talking about the convention center. But yeah, amazing space. I think we're in 5 or 6 halls right now. We might not need one of those, but, and that's everything from food venues to the actual, in the program, our exhibits, district booths, all those type zones, the district zone, all those things that are there, but then also great meeting space. So the Great Hall, which is a huge ballroom, we had that in 2016, and then a great theater, and then another ballroom too that will be used for Bible study, and then also our large sessions. And then, boy, I think we've got probably 40 meeting rooms that will be used for sessions, and then certainly offices and other things that are taking place. So just, it's a great convention center to be really flexible and allow us to do a lot of things, which is a nice, it makes it easier for us to plan, and I think it's great for our participants. It's just a little bit of getting used to that space in between things, even within, at least you're in air conditioning. But
yeah, so don't go thinking, I'm going to be in the same building all day.
Yeah.
You are going to get your steps in.
Yes, yes.
You are still going to get your steps in.
Without ever leaving the convention center.
And then finally, we're going to end our evening programming. All is going to happen at the Superdome.
Yes.
And so that's unlike maybe if people were with us in Houston, where that was really close, which was a nice thing to have. Superdome's got a little bit of a distance between that and the convention center.
Yeah. So if you're your closest spot of the convention center, so like if you're staying in the air conditioning as long as you can, so you have to go outside.
All the way to the end.
To the dome. You're still talking about a 1 to 1.25 mile walk through the city of New Orleans to get to the dome. So it is kind of, if you will, on the other side of downtown New Orleans, out closer to Interstate 10 and that area. So, I mean, one thing that might be different from previous events, like think about that maybe wasn't a part of your schedule before, is that like you'll be able to go back to your hotel room potentially between when you leave the convention center and you go to the dome, drop stuff off, bags, whatever it might be for that evening. You know, maybe that changes the meal plan a little bit about what you might do. That actually, we're like in Houston, we provided tons of food at the convention center because we had so many people bust down for the day. I'm here, you've got restaurants between your walk from when you're leaving the convention center to the dome. But it's that direction. There's a great space called Champion Square, which we'll probably use as our entrance piece. That's kind of like the foyer and stuff outside that will utilize that. But then we'll probably have a gate or two that will enter on that kind of like side of the building closest to the convention center to lower the walk as much as possible, for sure.
But there's a couple of really straight shot ways to get there that will have people and volunteers all along the way to help navigate traffic, make sure everybody stays safe on that walk. There's a couple of 3 different ways for you to kind of get there that aren't super long.
Yeah, but if you're looking on a map, if you look at probably Girard Street, that's G-I-R-O-D, Julia Street, and then Poydras will be the main streets that we'll use. And then we'll have ways that even if you're over closer to Canal, kind of how you come over and connect with Poydras is where we'll have a lot of our security and the police helping with traffic and things like that in the evening.
Yeah. All right. So we have probably some adult leaders who were with us in 2016 in New Orleans and are feeling super confident. We love that when you're like, I've been to this city before. Uh-huh. And maybe some adult leaders who were with us in years before where, you know, they've been to the New Orleans facilities a bunch of different times. Thinking about what might be different about the city in 2025.
Right. So, you know, many things will be the same from logistic. You know, the convention center and the dome are basically in the same locations. You know, again, a lot of the hotels are in the same location as well. So some of those things will be the same. But I think a couple things that when I think about new opportunities is that, you know, definitely the facilities will be updated. So like if you might have some memories of the colors of the facilities or some of the rooms and stuff like that, that's going to feel different. So hopefully that's not, doesn't get you discombobulated too badly. Certainly our entrance and things at the dome will be very different because all the entrances and things are differently there. So almost the entire inside of the dome, other than the bowl itself where like the stadium is different.
Yeah, I was very thrown off the first time I walked in. I was like, wait, Yeah, I don't remember any of this.
It still is a little, we'll get used to it, but like it's really until I see the bowl, I'm really confused where I am now because of how much change they've done. But the good thing compared to 2016, we're planning on bringing back assigned seating. So we'll have very good directions on what you need to do once you get inside the facility to get to your seat. So that's one thing that will be different from 2016. Not necessarily different in New Orleans, but different for the program side of it, which will be a good thing there. I think, you know, one thing too is that we, you know, I think it continued to improve our communication around stuff during the event too. So just that'll be hopefully another thing that will help facilitate you getting to where you need to go with your youth, to hit the program options, and then also to take care of those logistic things too around food. I think, you know, I'd be curious to know how much the count of restaurants have changed since 16 when you consider COVID and everything else that happened. Mm-hmm. But I'm still amazed. I don't know about you. I'm still amazed when we're down there. Like, I feel like it has come back post-COVID. I mean, that there are a lot of restaurant options in all those areas where we're at, whether it's Central Business District or others. I just think probably the one thing, I mean, I think still people, everyone's struggling with having enough workers, is that you just want to check the hours of places. I'm guessing probably places aren't open as late as maybe they were in 16 when you're looking for that late night food option. We'll do our best to certainly prep people. Like, usually the Domino's love to hear that there are 20,000 young people coming to a youth gathering in the city, and that they'll stay open all night if they have to. So we'll have those things. But that's just probably one thing that I would think planning ahead a little bit, that if you were there before and you had this great place that you would go to at 11 o'clock at night, make sure it's still there. Make sure it's still open at that time too.
Yeah. And maybe different than the last two cities we were in Houston and Minneapolis. This is a spot where you could definitely, for some places, call ahead, get reservations, which is always a benefit to the restaurant to know who's coming. And for you, especially if you have maybe a slightly bigger group. But I also want to assure people, if you haven't been to New Orleans is a food city. And so restaurants don't make it if they're not good.
Right.
So if you're like, I don't know, does that look like it's a good restaurant?
Right. Absolutely.
Is it surviving in thriving in New Orleans? It's decent food.
Yeah. And I'll say too, I mean, this is where New Orleans is just a great city, is that they will all be well prepared. We're coming too. So that they will be ready for, you know, even changing their menu to fit our youth's needs, to change their hours if they need to. I mean, we're already starting to hear from restaurants in our office saying, hey, we heard about your event. How can we get our name out, kind of thing? So I think at some point we'll probably have a list. Like, we did that in Houston, well, especially for maybe our larger churches who do want a sit-down place to do one meal together, that maybe has a private meeting room or something like that, that we'll be able to get that information, because they're ready to host us, which is great.
So we've been to New Orleans a lot of times. Mm-hmm. But if somebody's never been to New Orleans before, what are some things we maybe can talk about that they should know or expect when they get there?
Yeah, I really think, I mean, again, I'm not that well-traveled, so other people might push back on this, but I really find New Orleans to be a very unique city. I mean, and Louisiana's a unique state too, I think, just with its history, just to look at how it's a part of the, you know, French, I mean, their law system still based on the French law system. I mean, there's like a little amazing quirky things. I when I went back for the first time, I think as an adult, like I really felt like I'm like in a European city a little bit. So it's just that architecture is different. The feel's different that way. Certainly when we think about New Orleans, the pace of life is pretty slow for a city in that way, I think. And also, of course, the people are just very hospitable. And there's, you know, people have been there going for years. They probably see there's probably been a difference pre-Katrina and post-Katrina a little bit as that city rebuilt and did some things differently. But yet there are definitely some unique aspects of just the way of life in that city and just the things that you're able to do for, again, not necessarily the largest city in our country by any means, but unique in the way that it brings in tourists, the economy that's there with both tourism and also the petroleum and the unique food being close to the Gulf, and what that all pertains. How, I mean, we'll hit on it with Endure, the theme for sure, how it's endured the hurricanes and the storms, and yet people just love to live there. And there's something like a strong connection between those natives and the city itself, which is, I love. I mean, I think I just love to see the way they love their city.
I love the history. I love the color. It is it is a feast for the eyes as well as for in terms of food. It's hot.
It's hot. Yeah.
You gotta be willing. And we've been saying that. We said that in Houston too.
Yeah.
Right? We're in warm southern cities that
hydrate.
Are humid, and we're gonna need to hydrate. And it's a very walkable city, but it's some distance, right? Well,
and even like to think about, depending on where you're going to go, because it is a historical city. I mean, there are places where like it's almost only walkable because the streets are historic streets. Our buses
cobblestone.
Our buses aren't going down there. Like, you're going to have to be prepared to that, to see some of the sights of the city. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. certainly we would always encourage you to enjoy the food.
Oh, yes.
Not just the seafood, but like you said, right? Like it draws people from a lot of different places. Mm-hmm, it has a lot of very amazing Southern cuisine and French cuisine, all sorts of delicious food that you're not going to get in a lot of other places.
Right. Take advantage of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a lot to do. So I know some groups are going to already start to be thinking about, hey, what are we going to do if we're coming in a day before or a day later, which a lot of groups choose to do. I have some favorites. One is the World War II Museum. Oh. And, you know, that's going to be maybe a little bit of a hard sell to teenagers to take them to a museum. But this is, it's super interactive. Yep. It's really, really well done. And I also love riverboat tours.
Yes.
We've gotten a chance to do, I've done at least one. We're getting to do another one soon. Mm-hmm. But just to be able to kind of see and explore. And there are going to be some district events, we hope, that are going to be a part of that as well.
Right, yeah. I mean, that's one thing I might wait and make sure the district events are posted, because a lot of them do that riverboat cruise. So that would be one of those things that, again, great way to see the city. I mean, even if you don't do the full riverboat, there's a ferry just across the river, which is great view of the city, the skyline and everything. Like, just, and I think it's like, I don't know, $2 or $3, I think, just to go across. I mean, it's just another great way to get out on the water and to see the city that way and get to know a little bit more about the way. It's just a great trip as well. But yeah, those are some of my favorites too. I know some people, depending on how much time you're going to be a part of, probably some of the favorites are like swamp tours. And so, like, there's actually tour buses that would come and pick you up in the city of New Orleans and take you further out into the bayou. And so, like, you're going to see alligators, you're going to see snakes, you're going to see all the animals, you know, go on the hydroplanes, that kind of thing. And so that's a really fun experience. I know churches have done in the past. There's a lot of other museums too. I mean, again, that might be a hard sell at times, but yet everything from art to history that you can see. And you can, one thing I love about New Orleans, I mean, you could just go down a different trip and have like a different focus for your history learning. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything from pre-1800, then you got the Civil War era, you've got War of 1812, you've got Civil War or Civil Rights era. You got so many things that you can go down and learn about New Orleans and just seeing how a city, again, through the history of our country and through that city, it's lived through a lot of things and really fascinating to see. One other thing that, again, this might be an easier event. I think last time in 2016, there's a AAA baseball team in New Orleans. I think some went out to that event. It's just kind of a fun thing to do. Kind of gets you out of the downtown area. The stadium's a little further out at downtown, but just another thing I think some churches did on the front end or back end. I don't think that schedule's out yet, but they might be in town when we're there for the gathering. But yeah, there's a lot of those things around just seeing the history or getting out into maybe like the bayou area too, that can be a really fun time for students.
Yeah. And tons of great walking tours,
right?
So if you maybe just have like an afternoon or something like that, those are kinds of things where you can go and do some Google spelunking and be able to find some great tours that'll help. Maybe something that you don't have to plan, but that will give you, the tour guides I've had have been outstanding, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, but with that, I think recognizing that New Orleans, like all of the cities pretty much that we go to, are big urban centers.
Right.
And with that comes maybe concerns about safety. New Orleans in particular has a reputation around Mardi Gras, but also just all year long for alcohol and partying. And we want to recognize that. Like, we don't want to ignore that part of it. And maybe let's talk a little bit about how we might handle that as adult leaders preparing our young people.
Sure. Well, I think one of those things, like, just, you know, talk to your group early and often about those safety rules and expectations around those things so they're prepped for it, so they know it. I mean, it's not going to be hard for them to find that out if they don't already know that, but you as a leader to be prepared for that and just the expectations that are there. Again, you know, that might talk a little bit, that conversation might look a little bit different depending on where your hotel is, and just so, like, you might know how much of a stretch it might be to some of those parts of the city. And you know, we should just, you know, probably say that these things exist in any city we go to in terms of could be potential temptations and things that happen. But we also certainly need to recognize that there are some unique things in New Orleans too, where it's very public and can be in your face if you're in the certain parts of the city. You know, when you say Bourbon Street and the places close to it, those are unique for many cities.
Not
in the United States.
You're going to see in every urban area.
Yeah, exactly. And at the same time, to like understand that is a very small part of downtown New Orleans. And so, you know, on Bourbon Street, there is proximity to a lot of bars, proximity to alcohol that we would not recommend your groups are down there at night. If you want to use that as an object lesson, do it during the day. That's what usually churches do, to be able to talk about, again, open sin in front of us and the temptation that can be there. I would not be down there in the evening time. That's really when that time is. And certainly there's, I mean, just be prepared, proximity to also sinful adult entertainment shops too in that area. But again, I'm sure those are conversations parents and pastors and church workers are having with kids about what they can find on the internet. And it's, you know, that type of thing that they have proximity no matter whether, as long as there's technology in their hands. So again, it can be an object lesson, but we would not recommend necessarily that be a part of much of your plan in the evenings. And we recognize and we'll prepare congregations for this, that some hotels are going to be closer to that area than others. But a good number, vast majority of our participants are not staying on Bourbon or near Bourbon, near even the French Quarter.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think that's one of those things where as you get your hotel might specify for you how you're going to talk to your young people about it, how in their face it's going to be. Mm-hmm. But recognize that they're going to know that that's a part of New Orleans and a part of the city. And so how are we, as an adult leader, how am I going to make sure that they know what my expectations of them are? How do I know that I'm encouraging them to stay safe? And certainly we're going to put out some adult resources that are going to help you both kind of break down those things specifically in New Orleans, but in general, how am I making sure that they are, as much as we can, either staying away from that completely, or if we are going to have to walk through a part of that, how are we going to talk about it? Like you said, are we walking in the daytime? Are we talking about it? Are we debriefing that? Are we making sure that we're reminding them of what God says in his word and encouraging them to make good decisions?
Yeah. And I would say, I always am thankful to be reminded by this, by our own adult leaders, that I take it for granted too quickly, been to, you know, a number of gatherings and being a part of the process. For if you're new, or if you're a new adult leader, or you have new parents, we hear from cities how unique our event is for this reason. And I think it is on many levels, is the number of volunteers that we bring in for the event. So cities, just one reason they love our event, that we provide that level of kind of not supervision, but just connection and hospitality of our own people. And so like, that's just another thing too. Like you're going to be hard pressed to not see a yellow shirt or an orange shirt or a blue shirt in many aspects of the gathering, including even on the sidewalk as you're walking to the venues that provide, again, another set of eyes and ears to help you and to be on the lookout for things. So that's thing too. And then we do too. We add a layer of security and safety with off-duty police officers that we invest the time and money into it to make that on, especially our walking routes and things like that, so that there is, again, another level of security for our participants.
Yeah. We know that there's youth groups that are coming from smaller towns that maybe aren't experiencing that urban setting before. This is a new experience for them. Maybe experiencing seeing people who are homeless, is a new experience for them.
Yes, yep.
Or understanding how we relate to them. And like I said, we're going to put out some adult leader resources that are going to help you kind of think through how we talk about those things. And I'll be honest, like, I think as long as you are taking really practical steps, you're being really reasonable. I have had a few instances where I've had to walk by myself around near the hotels where we've been staying in preparation for this. I've never felt unsafe, especially in places like Bourbon Street. There's a lot of police presence. And so really we want kids to be making smart, wise decisions that help them to focus on what the gathering is about and not on all sorts of other things. We want them to be focusing on endure and the Christ endures for them, and not let this kind of thing that we see, whether it's safety or security fears around that or other fears in the city, take away from that experience for them. So we've, you know, some downsides to major city centers, but I'm a city girl. I love living in the city. We both really love the city in New Orleans. What are some of your favorite things about New Orleans?
I think we're both going to agree on one, so I'll take another one. I love history, and so I just, my dream would be just to go down to New Orleans and like really have a weekend trip on just focusing on one little aspect of the history that they have. I mean, I didn't even mention before the music, art. I mean, all those things that are there too, that there's just, it's such a cool city that way that, again, I think it's unique kind of in our American sphere a little bit, that when you look at the influences and the history there, that I just love that part of it.
You say music, that was going to be one of mine. Yeah. This is a city that is always loud and it's beautiful with rich with music. The jazz music that you can hear from amazing musicians who are literally just standing on a corner. Unbelievable. Yeah. Such a cool experience. I could eat all the beignets.
That's
my...
General, I was going to say the food. I mean, that's what I figured we'd agree on.
Fish is good. Yeah. The fish is delicious. But like, beignets all the way. And good chicory coffee.
Yes.
I mean...
It's a good coffee. You just can't go wrong there. I happen to like the Cajun and Creole type of food. I know it's not necessarily for everybody, but there's food beyond that even too. But just even to eat those delicacies, I love trying the unique stuff that's there. I will say, I mean, my youth leader always has to remind me of this. When I went in 92 as a youth, that was not my feeling about things.
Oh, was it?
It wasn't. So I was much more, I think there was still a note that I said something about I had the best burger I'd ever had in New Orleans, which
I've
expanded the horizon a little bit since then. But there's basically, like you said, even a burger joint has to be good in New Orleans because they got to compete against really good food. So you just have all sorts of great food that you can eat.
Yeah. And so many, surprisingly, this is the other thing, so many good breakfast places. Maybe you should expect that. But I think we talk about Cajun food so much, but I have to say some of the best breakfasts that I've ever, biscuits, man. We are excited for in just over a year. Right. To have you guys in New Orleans. And for some of you, we're going to get to experience having you in New Orleans at National Lutheran Youth Workers Conference here this summer. We hope that this podcast gets you excited and gives you maybe a little orientation to the city that we're going to be in. Maybe some closing things for you to consider. One, what might your young people be excited to experience when they come to the city?
What are maybe some ways that you are preparing your young people for new things like being in an urban environment, walks, and when you're going to be able to experience many things of a city that are just awesome and new to young people, and how you're going to be able to debrief those?
And finally, what kinds of foods are you hoping your young people are going to be able to experience, or Southern hospitality that they're going to be able to experience during their time together? We will continue to keep you in our prayers as you prepare to attend both the National Lutheran Youth Workers Conference and the gathering in New Orleans. Again, for more information about the gathering, please go to the website, join our Facebook group, and be sure to join us on Thursday evenings once a month for our gathering updates on Zoom.
Engold's podcast is a production of LCMS Youth Ministry and KFUO Radio. To find out more about LCMS Youth Ministry or to find links to resources mentioned, go to kfuo.org/youthministry. Thank you for listening and caring for the young people of our church.